Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the outskirts of Washington, D.C., a capital in disarray where people in the White House... Oh, there's one jumping out of a building now. No. But it is a mess. And people in the White House are busy fingering each other. He broke the law. No, he broke the law. No, she broke the law. Let me make it really easy for all of you. You all broke the law. This president has been seeking to abuse his power and use the power of the United States, the full awesome power of our country, and dipping into taxpayer dollars, all in order to benefit himself, well, since he began running for president. This really can't be disputed. You can read those early accounts as Donald Trump says to Melania, "Hey, I want an infomercial, the greatest infomercial you've ever seen. I want to be like Herman Cain or any of the others who ran for president solely to help my personal business. And I won't win, but more people will buy Trump vodka and Trump steaks and stay in our hotels." So from the get-go, he never really took the job seriously. It was all... well, for his narcissistic personality, it was all to make him feel good. It was all to increase his business, which is why perhaps he has no idea that he's even breaking the law. Why shouldn't he use the vast power of the United States and all of your money in order to benefit himself personally, in order to line his pockets? That's who Donald Trump has always been. That's who he always will be. But this time, he got caught. Why this time? This is a guy who is sending State Department and military officials to his hotel in Ireland, way out of the way, just so he can cash in. This is a guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars taken from your pocket and my pocket just when he plays golf. This is a guy who has done everything from change the weather maps with a Sharpie to give Vladimir Putin our most secret, top secret, classified information causing our operatives to be murdered by ISIS. Why now? What is it about the Ukraine scandal that I predict right now will cause Donald Trump to be impeached before the end of the year? Impeached being the House process by which a majority of the House of Representatives votes to present articles of impeachment to the Senate. I do think he'll be tried by the Senate in the new year. I'm not making a prediction on that yet. But I will say this. I've started an impeachment word spell out from – it began 2 years ago with the I and the M. Well, last week it was I-M-P-E-A-C-H. This week, I-M-P-E-H-C-M. First time I've added two letters in 2 weeks. Trump is in trouble. But why now? Before I answer that question – I want to talk a little bit about the fragility of democracy. I think Americans sitting here in the 223rd year, if I got my numbers right, no, 243rd year of our independence, think America is a solid democracy. It's been a democracy for 243 years. Yeah, we had slavery. Yeah, we committed genocide of Native Americans. But we've always had some form of democracy. Our Constitution still stands. There's really nothing to worry about. Well, there's some truth that longevity helps us out. But we need to understand the fragility of democracy, the fragility of our institutions. Weimar Germany, new democracy, became Nazi Germany. Russia had a democracy for about 8 months in 1917 when Lenin took over. Latin America has democracy after democracy followed by dictatorship after dictatorship. We've seen in Europe, Eastern European countries, many of them go back to dictatorship. Indeed, Ukraine. Ukraine right now is the border between the free world and the unfree world. In fact, that border runs right through the middle of Ukraine because Russia has invaded the eastern half of Ukraine. Don't think that democracy is so easily kept. Our founders, for all their racism and sexism, which no doubt is true, were very clever in their system of checks and balances. They purposely designed three co-equal branches of government to check each other and spy on each other and watch each other and check each other's power. That's the famous checks and balances that all of us study in our American history book. The question is, what could stop these checks and balances from working, each one checking the other? Well, you have to systematically take them apart piece by piece by piece. We can start with the courts. In 2016, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Senate, did something that had never been done in American history. We went through civil war, we went through depression, we went through an armed rebellion, and at no time in 243 years did the leader of the Senate say, we're not going to approve any of the president's Supreme Court justices. The Constitution says, nominate one, the Senate confirms or doesn't confirm. Senates have rejected presidential nominees before, but they've never before said, we will never, ever, ever allow a Democratic president to again choose a Supreme Court justice. Which, of course, is what Mitch McConnell said, even with the very moderate Merrick Garland appointed by Barack Obama. So, our courts are being packed. Our Supreme Court has been packed with two justices when one of them should have been appointed by Obama. Our lower courts have been packed faster and harder now than at any time in American history because the Republicans got rid of the filibuster for the Supreme Court. And for lower courts, they got rid of something called the blue slip, which I don't have time to explain right now, but it slowed down the process. Packing the courts. Trump has had more judges appointed, federal judges appointed, in his 3 years in office than any other president in American history. And packed with, frankly, many uneducated judges, judges who don't know the basic matters of the law that all of us lawyers know, but who are loyal to the dictator, loyal to Trump, personally loyal rather than loyal to their country. That's a problem. The presidency. The presidency isn't chosen by the American people. Oh, there was a time when it was, but, well, starting in 2000, when Al Gore won the electoral votes, but the United States Supreme Court said by 5-4, we're not going to count the votes in Florida. If you count the votes in Florida, Gore will win, and that will really harm George Bush's claim to be president. So Donald Trump lost by 3 million votes. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. That's actually one of the flaws in the original Constitution. And he won because Russia, our greatest enemy, intervened in that election, put their thumb on the scale, intervened in the election, and basically did what Nixon tried to do in Watergate, did for Trump successfully. That, Jim Comey broke the law in the way he talked about Hillary. Donald Trump won unfairly that branch of government, just as the Supreme Court has been unfairly chosen, at least two justices have been unfairly chosen, arguably four if you include the two Bush justices. And then there's the legislature. The Senate has two representatives for every state. Sorry, those of you who live in California, you are 1/200th, I'll have to check my math, but about 1/200th a citizen of Wyoming or Delaware. You just have less power. You don't have equal rights under the law. And then the House? Well, the House was terribly gerrymandered by Republicans, absolutely unrepresentative. In 2016, a majority of Americans voted for Democrats in the House, but the Republicans still had control. So all of our branches of government were undemocratic, unrepresentative. One could say quite fairly that we were not a democracy in 2017 and 2018. But what happened in 2018? The people came roaring back. We won a supermajority of the vote, not just 52%, but 55, 56, 57%. Enough people voted in the election in 2018 to go beyond the margin of cheating, beyond the margin of gerrymandering, beyond the margin of a rigged election, to actually give the House, put it under Democratic control. And that is the only reason why anyone is stopping the corruption in the White House. So, why did Donald Trump get away with so much for so long? Partly there was no one watching him, that's true. But, you know, he did pressure Jim Comey to drop the investigation into Mike Flynn. He did try to fire Jeff Sessions, who recused himself. He did encourage Russia to meddle in our election, welcome that. He did tell Putin, that's fine, I want you to do it again. Basically, we know that now, that Donald Trump, when he was handing classified material over to the Russians, said, I have no problem with your meddling in the election. The Mueller report lists example after example after obstruction of obstruction of justice. We know all the ways in which Donald Trump has stolen money from the taxpayer, spent taxpayer money in his hotels. He promised to use pardons. He said, if you want to break the law, go right ahead, break the law. I'll pardon you. You can get that wall installed. Doesn't matter whether Congress voted for it or not. Campaign finance laws, sexually assaulted 23 women, pay off money to Stormy Daniels, which is against the law. Honestly, I've just started. I don't have time to discuss the entire conduct of this mafioso. I mean, he has a whole crime family, and he's been breaking laws right and left. So why now? Why is he in trouble now? Sure, he asked for foreign intervention in our election. Well, he did it already with Russia. But at the time, they couldn't prove a criminal conspiracy. So Donald Trump said, no collusion, no collusion. Remember that? Every other tweet, no collusion, no collusion, no collusion. Well, what's he guilty of now? Collusion. And how do we know? Because he said so. We have a copy of the transcript. And not just collusion with Ukraine and Russia. Collusion with Australia and Italy. He just sent Barr to Italy, all to use the power of the United States to help him win an election. This is not collusion to help freedom or to help free Ukraine or to help American trade policy. No, that's all normal. It's using $400 million in taxpayer money to coerce Ukraine into intervening in our election to make up dirt on the man he most fears as his opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden. Using national security, our national security, threatening American national security as a bargaining chip for personal political gain. I mean, compared to Watergate, Watergate's nothing. Watergate, they planted a bug. They didn't even get any information. They were caught planting the bug. There's no evidence that Nixon actually ordered the plant. He did cover it up. Yeah, and he did collude with foreign powers about Vietnam. We didn't find that out till way later. This is serious. So why is it happening right now? Well, for one thing, his handlers are gone. Right? The people that looked over him, that restrained his conduct, people like Jeff Sessions, people like Reince Priebus, they're gone. They're all fired. This guy's on his own now. Remember, Mueller told us Donald Trump repeatedly wanted to do illegal, unlawful, abuse of power things, but was restrained because even Corey Lewandowski, that thug, would not tell the special prosecutor he was fired, even though he was ordered to. So he orders all kinds of illegality. His staff stops him. Now that staff is fired. Lots more to talk about. You're going to want to stay tuned. Wait just 4 minutes for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, detailing why Donald Trump is finally in trouble now. Before the break, we talked about the fragility of democracies. And while it's true that those that have lasted a long time tend to stay a long time, we have lots of examples in history. Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels talked about how to undermine a democracy. Basically, you do it through something called the big lie. You tell a lie so big, so crazy, so conspiracy-minded that people think it must be true. Why would people think it must be true? Well, Goebbels writes that people could lie about their age. They could lie about how they're feeling this morning. They could even lie about whether or not they took that cookie from the cookie jar. That's everyday lies that people make all the time. But massive conspiratorial-minded lies, they think you would never have the audacity to make up such a lie unless it were true. And so they use lie after lie after lie, the Nazis did. The other thing the Nazis did was they would do something atrocious, terrible, awful, crazy, dangerous. And before the public, as they were reacting to the horror of it, they'd do another. And then as they're reacting to that, do another. And constantly keep people off balance, so that they could never focus on what's really going on. Remember that Donald Trump was trained by Roy Cohn. You know who Roy Cohn was? Roy Cohn was the lawyer for Joseph McCarthy. You thought that era was back in history? No, the same guy who was a young lawyer helping Joe McCarthy with McCarthyism, making up all kinds of crazy, ridiculous lies that caused thousands, if not tens of thousands of Americans to be blacklisted, prevented from working in Hollywood, their reputations in tattered, ruined, all because John McCarthy said, I have a list of these communists in the White House. The list was blank. It was a laundry list. But people believed him. People want to believe someone whom they agree with. Oh, Donald Trump is a racist too. I want to believe him. And they dismiss real facts in order to agree with fake news. Why does Donald Trump say fake news all the time? Because he is the biggest purveyor of fake news. Why does he use the word treason? Because the man has committed treason. It's all about projection. It's all about taking the crimes that he's doing and blaming them on others. And for all his idiocy and ignorance of policy and narcissistic self-regard, Donald Trump is quite good at these basic Nazi principles of using the big lie and a rush of information and fake news to leave people uneasy. So here it is, the day after Robert Mueller gives his testimony. And Robert Mueller was an extraordinary weak special prosecutor. We'll get into this some more after the break. Why he didn't go after Donald Trump the way, say, Leon Jaworski, the special prosecutor for Richard Nixon, went after him. We're going to get into, when I come back from break, all the ways in which Donald Trump had every reason to believe that he was safe, that he would not be troubled, and why it is the day after Robert Mueller testifies. He's on the phone with Ukraine, with the president of Ukraine, bragging about how he got away with foreign collusion, and in the process, colluding with a new foreign power. And now we learn it's not just Ukraine, it's Australia, it's Italy, it's Russia. This is a man who believes there are no guardrails, and he's about to hit one. You're going to want to stay tuned. Long segment coming up in just 4 minutes after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, giving the breakdown on what's going on with the Ukraine scandal and why I think Donald Trump's in trouble this time, but also explaining why he went there. This is a guy whose entire life has pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, doesn't pay people, doesn't pay his taxes, rips off people, doesn't let blacks land in his, stay in his houses. That's something his father taught him. Made up crazy lies about Obama and this whole birther nonsense, and always got away with it. Why would he not get away this time? But first you have to understand why he felt he could go so far as to use the power of the United States to extort our allies, including very weak allies like Ukraine, to help him win an election, to actually not just collude with a foreign power to intervene, but coerce a foreign power to intervene, right? This wasn't Russia intervening and Donald Trump welcoming it. This is Donald Trump saying, hey, you, Australia, you, Ukraine, you, Italy, you want U.S. help? Help me win my election, and then I'll give you the taxpayer dollars that Congress voted for. That is brazen corruption, brazen abuse of power, exactly the kind of abuse of power, frankly, that our founders worried about most. That's why they have an emoluments clause in our Constitution talking about gifts from foreigners. Framers constantly talk in the Federalist Papers about fearing foreign influence. It's an attack on our very institutions of our government. Why did he think he could get away with so much? Well, he'd gotten away with a lot before. Who would stop him? So normally, you'd have the executive branch, right? In the Nixon era, you had special prosecutors. The Attorney General, Elliot Richardson, resigned rather than allow Richard Nixon to fire the special prosecutor. Even the Deputy Attorney General resigned rather than agreeing with what they called the Saturday Night Massacre, where Nixon would get rid of the people investigating him. Who got rid of him? Robert Bork. He had to go three levels down to get to a level of corruption. But the new special prosecutor, Leon Jaworski, was just as tough as the former special prosecutor. In fact, he gave a full roadmap to Congress. He said Richard Nixon is an unindicted co-conspirator. Now, Jaworski did not indict Richard Nixon because of this old memo of the Office of Legal Counsel. I'm going to talk about that if there's time at the end. But this is the president's branch, president's legal team. It's not the law of the United States. It's not even a law by any court. No court has ever found, no legislature has ever found that the president is above the law. But the president said, hey, I'm above the law. As Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not illegal. So Leon Jaworski did not indict Richard Nixon, but he made him an unindicted co-conspirator. He said to Congress, this guy is guilty, guilty, guilty. Here's my roadmap. Here's why he's guilty. Go get him, impeachment people. Robert Mueller didn't do that. He could have done it. Leon Jaworski had done it. Robert Mueller took the idea that the president can't be indicted while he's in office, that he can only be impeached, and took it one step further. He said, because the president can't be frog marched to jail, Mueller said, because even if he shoots 100 people in Times Square, we can't do anything about it until we impeach and remove him from office. I'm not even going to say whether shooting someone in Times Square is wrong. I'm not even going to say whether the president obstructed justice or not. I feel like I can't say it because we can't charge him. Very, very weak, much weaker than against Nixon. The irony is, without a special prosecutor, Congress, under the clear right of impeachment, which is a constitutional right, can go further than Mueller ever could. Now, Congress has been trying, ever since the Democrats took power in January of 2019, it's only been 9 months, less, 8 months, 8 months and change since the Democrats took power. They've issued subpoena after subpoena after subpoena to Donald Trump, to his staff, get his tax returns, which we think he's cheating on his taxes. There actually is a special investigator, not a special investigator, a Inspector General's report, a whistleblower on that, which I don't think I have time to talk about right now. But they issued subpoena after subpoena, and Donald Trump is the first president in American history to just say, I don't care, I don't want to obey, I don't have to obey. Congress has no constitutional right of oversight, despite the fact that Congress has a clear constitutional right of oversight. Who was going to hold Donald Trump to task? Not the executive branch, not the Justice Department. He got rid of Sessions, who, for all the horrible things Jeff Sessions did, at least recused himself from the Russia investigation. Mueller was very, very weak. He got rid of Jim Comey, right? And he put in a guy, Bill Barr, because Bill Barr had written an article on how the president is above the law. And he said, I want you. You'll let me be a criminal? Great. Come on in. I'll actually involve you in my crimes. And he did. Donald Trump specifically mentioned how Bill Barr would help him break the law with Ukraine in his conversation with the president of Ukraine. The executive branch wasn't going to watch him anymore. There were people in the executive branch in his first couple of years, normal, average, reliable Republicans, people like Reince Priebus, even some people who'd worked for Russia, people like his former Secretary of State, who said that Donald Trump wanted to break the law all the time. Again, Robert Mueller reported Donald Trump repeatedly tried to break the law. He wanted a moat with alligators all along the southern border. He wanted to shoot migrants who were escaping persecution into the United States. And his staff had to say, Mr. President, murder is still wrong. You can't do that. But all the restraints, they were forced out, one by one by one. Indeed, anyone who tried to keep Donald Trump from breaking the law was considered the deep state, someone very dangerous. Even the IRS isn't auditing him because he ordered them not to. That's, by the way, what the tax whistleblower, I think, is going to come to. We will get to that. So no one in the executive branch could possibly take him to task. And the courts, well, they were being very, very slow to enforce his subpoenas. In fact, one court said that the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, the thing that says that presidents can't take money from foreign governments, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, the founders wrote it, and yeah, I swore an oath to uphold it, but I'm a federal judge, and I'm telling you that this part of the Constitution I choose to disobey because I love dictatorship. Never has a federal judge, I won't say never. Let's just say it's rare for a federal judge to say, the Constitution says it, but it doesn't mean anything. So he wasn't being watched by the courts. And we talked about how the courts were packed by his people. A few of the courts, you may remember early on, overturned a lot of his stuff. But now, we're getting a lot of Trump judges. The only people who were going to take him to task was the legislature. And until 2019, it was controlled by Republicans, who all said clearly, you want to break the law, Donald? Break the law. You want to be corrupt? Be corrupt. You want to abuse power? Abuse power. You want to use the power of the United States to help you get elected? Great. Use it to help us get elected too, and we can all be involved in a permanent dictatorship, and we don't give a damn about American democracy. We want power. What Republicans spoke against Donald Trump? Oh, you can name a few. John McCain. May he rest in peace. Jeff Flake, honorable conservative, no longer member of the United States Senate. There are a few of them. You can probably count them on one hand. But most Republicans were very happy to take power at the expense of American freedom, democracy, national security. Remember when Republicans used to care about Russia? Used to call it the enemy? Remember when Mitt Romney said that Russia was our greatest enemy and Republicans attacked Obama for not recognizing Russia being enemy enough? I guess they really didn't care about Russia. They just wanted power. So the only people that were going to stop him were the House of Representatives, and only after it went under Democratic control. But Donald Trump ignored subpoena after subpoena after subpoena. It's only by declaring this an impeachable offense, by breaking the glass, pulling down the fire alarm, the ultimate fire alarm in our Constitution, that now we're forcing Donald to comply. Remember why this was turned over in the first place. Why do we see this transcript? Some are like, Donald Trump is really stupid. He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. He turned it over. And that may be true. But he was also compelled to. You see, the Democrats had said, we're going to impeach this guy. And we need this because we think he's breaking the law in the White House. And there's an old unanimous Supreme Court decision, United States v. Nixon, 1974, the one that handed over the tapes, that says you cannot have executive privilege if you're breaking the law. Executive privilege, the idea that the president can talk with his advisors in a careful way and be able to discuss things openly without having the public know everything, that's a reasonable privilege, but it gives way when there's abuse of power, when they're crime breaking. It was only by declaring this was impeachable that the Democrats could force Donald Trump. Remember, this was forced. Remember, everyone tried to cover it up. Barr tried to cover it up, the Attorney General. The Secretary of State, Pompeo, tried to cover it up. Giuliani is an idiot and told us a lot of things he was doing. But they tried to cover it up. The only reason Donald Trump's in power is in trouble now is because the Democrats have finally pulled the fire alarm and declared impeachment. Heck, even Giuliani is going to have to testify. Attorney-client privilege is a powerful privilege. You should have the right to talk to your attorney privately, but you can never use attorney-client privilege in order to commit a crime. Every lawyer knows this. They call it the crime-fraud exception. The only time you have to turn in your client can tell you they've committed a crime, and that's secret. But when the client has you do a crime for them, the lawyer is as guilty as the client. Sorry, Rudy, but you are going to have to wear an orange jumpsuit along with your friend Paul Manafort, you know, that guy that you've been talking to lately, and he has been, about how to use Ukraine to help Russia and how to use it all to help Donald Trump win election. You may be joining Paul Manafort in a jail cell, along with the Attorney General, Bill Barr, along with the Secretary of State, Pompeo, along with, and I hope we have time to get to this, the Vice President of the United States, who also was part of the conspiracy to withhold U.S. military aid to Ukraine in order to coerce Ukraine into making up dirt on Joe Biden. Pence's hands are dirty too. When we come back, I want to talk about Ukraine, specifically why Ukraine is under so much pressure, why Zelensky in particular was an easy mark to push around, and how it is that I think this is all going to end. You're going to want to stay tuned. Just 4 minutes of silence, 4 minutes of commercials, right back after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I got 7 minutes left and a lot to say. Ukraine, remember, the eastern part of its country, invaded by Russia, desperately needs our help. Ukraine got $15 billion from Europe. Don't believe that nonsense that Europe didn't pay their fair share. We were providing them $400 million in military aid. Europe was providing them $15 billion in trade aid, in aid to help fight corruption. Europe offered Ukraine would be a full partner in the European Union. They knew that Ukraine is the border between free and unfree, literally the border in Europe. But they couldn't provide the military help. We had to do that. So Ukraine has a gun to its head, and the name of that gun is Russia. And when they're talking, when Zelensky's talking with Donald Trump, he sounds just like you expect someone would who is a hostage, right? Here you have Donald Trump saying, I'd like you to do us a favor, though. Zelensky says, Trump, I need these missiles for our defense. I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country's been through a lot. And Ukraine, no, you haven't been very good to us. Right? He says the United States has been very, very good to Ukraine, but it hasn't been reciprocal. By the way, all of this is from the transcript. You don't have to take my word for it. If you have not read the 5-page transcript of that phone call, then I'm sorry. You're not a patriotic American. Every American, when you're done with this blast, go right now and read it. You owe it to your country to read those 5 pages. He says, I need you to do us a favor, said the man, Donald Trump, who controls Ukraine's future. And Zelensky says, I stayed at your hotels, Donald, and I want to thank you. You're the reason I got elected, and I support you 1,000%. He says what any hostage would say in such a situation. And Donald Trump makes clear that doing us a favor is not about doing the United States a favor. It's about doing the Trump campaign a favor. First, you have to agree with this ridiculous conspiracy theory that it wasn't Russia who intervened in our election, it was Ukraine. You have the DNC server. And whatever you can do to look into that. And hey, look at Biden. I hear there's really bad stuff going around. And by the way, we may not know all of that phone call. There's a bunch of ellipses in the phone call, dot, dot, dot. And that may mean that stuff was edited out. If you read the phone call out loud, it lasts about 10 minutes. We know the phone call was 30 minutes. Even with translation, you have to wonder why every time Donald Trump is pushing conspiracy theories, you see that ellipsis, dot, dot, dot. But going on, Zelensky says, oh, I will assure you my prosecutor will be 100% my person. In other words, he'll be fair, he'll be honest. Trump, that's not good enough. Giuliani's going to call you. Remember, Giuliani had already called Zelensky and pressed him time and time again. Giuliani's going to call you. And the Attorney General Barr is going to call you. And they're going to call you. You better do what they say, he's saying, if you want your military aid. Just today, Kurt Volker, working for the State Department, the guy who Pompeo did not want to let testify, so Kurt Volker quit his job so he could testify, says, I thought it was crazy for them to hold up national security aid to help us in a political campaign. Crazy, unlawful, abuse of power. Crazy is one word. That's today's testimony. That's the news that's just coming out today. And Vice President Pence today has said it was fine. It's fine to use taxpayer money for your political campaign. It's fine to coerce foreign leaders, weak allies, to do your personal political bidding. It's just fine, said the man who needs to be impeached before or after Donald Trump. Remember, Trump did no business for the United States on that call. Never once did he say anything about corruption other than the corruption of agreeing with his conspiracy theory and making up dirt on Joe Biden. It was a classic mob shakedown. Remember, Rex Tillerson said Donald Trump was often making illegal requests, but he had no one to stop him now. So his staff, knowing the president is abusing power and doing their best to cover it up, take this unclassified phone call and put it in a special private server, the most top secret server we have. Put it with the nuclear codes. This is a do not ever let the president see we're abusing power kind of box. They stick it there along with all of the other phone calls to foreign leaders that are an abuse of power. If you don't believe me, again, check out the whistleblower complaint. Check out when the Democrats subpoena these materials. Check out that a federal court, has already ordered Donald Trump and his presidency not to destroy any evidence. We'll see if they do. Nixon erased 18 minutes from his tapes. Donald Trump was going on and on and on. To the extent that he felt he wasn't doing anything wrong, it's because he's so corrupt, he doesn't recognize the stench of corruption. Donald Trump and the Republicans believe that politics is all about power. Not about the Constitution, not about the American people. It's all about enriching yourself and taking power. And so all the people of the government that don't believe in that, the patriotic Americans who want to serve their country, have all been almost all systematically purged. And in fact, one of the few that's left is that whistleblower. God bless him or her, that patriotic American that turned this in. So people like Marie Yovanovitch, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who believed that we should help Ukraine fight Russia, someone whose parents fled Nazi and Soviet oppression, career official appointed by George W. Bush, someone who, and by Barack Obama, just a career foreign service official, forced out of government because she would not abuse her power in order to help Donald Trump in his election campaign. And the president, he's threatening to kill whistleblowers now. He's saying, you know, the punishment for these spies should be treason. You know what we used to do with spies in those days? We used to kill them. The whistleblower has every reason to be afraid. And now we know it's not just Ukraine, it's Australia. What did Australia do? Australia told us the truth about Russian intervention, and so he presses the Australian government to investigate itself. Why did you let America know that Russia wanted to intervene in your election? Check yourself, Australia. We have Barr in Italy right now, pressing Italy to make up lies about Joe Biden. My friends, this is going on and on and on until this cancer is removed from the White House and frog marched to jail in an Archie Trump suit that matches his face. This is Mark Levine signing off.